terms of like
Streetside is like.
wherever I go in Mexico, wherever I go in the country, I can find a good street food scene. I think Mexico is a good country for that.
Mexico is like, you can't be disappointed because you always got fresh juices and stuff, the agua frescas and tamales and tacos.
Really good street food scene. I think one of my favorite street food scenes, though, and just because it holds also a special place in my heart, is Portland.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think Portland has it's up there with all the international greats in terms of, street food. And I think what's unique about Portland is the variety because, it's like it's very American in the sense of it's like the melting pot, lots
It
of
is
different
not though.
cultural.
We want to say it's very American because there is so much fusion here in Portland,
Yeah.
but we also have a lot of immigration. So it's very
That's kind of what I mean. It's like
encapsulates a
very
lot of,
international flavors. Like
right.
not just like, because it's like when we talk about a country's street food, it's very much like those country's specialities.
Right,
And
right.
I think it's what's interesting in Portland is the like variety is quite big.
Oh yeah. I'm getting hungry now. We'll have to cut this episode short
We're
so
gonna
I
go to
can
some food carts.
get some food and stuff, I mean, I love Nong's right by the way from the radio station here. It's always
Oh
delicious.
yes. All right. Well, we are out of time, so it was a pleasure, Tyson, to do this episode with you.
Pleasure to you as well, Joseph.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Life Stamp Stories from Here and There on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And until next time, happy travels.
Happy eating as well.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
Hi, I'm Dr. Demento, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Yeah!
KBOO's Metal Marathon, the Metal March, is back once again. And that means brand new metal merch. Go to kboo.fm/metal to check out all KBOO's new metal merch featuring exclusive artwork provided by local artists and musician at Unicron Artworks. This year's Metal Marathon is live on KBOO Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Get your very own limited edition 2025 Metal March Metal merch and listen to every installment of the Metal Marathon at kboo.fm/metal and support metal on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Pacifica Radio in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, we continue our drumbeat coverage of the Bernie Sanders Fight the Oligarchy tour. Today, we catch up with the senator in Madison, Wisconsin. And he is hot. All this coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. To Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We come to you every weekday from 5 to 6 over the Pacifica Radio Network. That's KPFA in the Bay Area. Today we are broadcasting from San Francisco, and we are happy to have been able to catch up again with Bernie Sanders. He is on tour. He is on an extraordinary speaking tour, Fight the Oligarchy. He's having overflow rooms and then overflow rooms for the overflow rooms. People are interested. People are angry. People really want to hear what he has to say. So I thought we would go back and grab another piece of Bernie and let you know what's going on. So listen to this. He's in, I believe he's in Madison, Wisconsin.
We are lucky to have him here today, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Thank you, Kenosha! I didn't know there were this many people in Kenosha. Wow, what a crowd. And by the way, we got another 1,000 people in the overflow area. Let me thank the University of Wisconsin Parkside for the venue. Let me thank Kinsella and Pulse LLC for the music. Laura Jane Grace for the music. Lori, Ellen, Randy, and Congressman Mark Buchan for their great remarks.
We love you, Bernie!
Well, you know, it is great to be in Wisconsin, the state that has the second best cheddar cheese in America. Just kidding, just kidding.
We love our mochi.
So,
we love your ice cream.
Why am I here tonight? Well, because it's great to see all of you. That's why I'm here. But the answer, I think, as Mark and the others have said, is pretty obvious. As most Americans know, we are living in a pivotal and dangerous moment in American history. And we are facing unprecedented challenges. The world is shifting rapidly every day, something new, shifting rapidly under our feet. And how we respond to all that is going on right now will impact not only our lives, but the lives of our kids and future generations. And in terms of the planet and climate change, it will depend. What we do now will determine whether the planet actually survives. So we are here to say loudly and clearly that in our great nation, we will not accept oligarchy. We will not accept authoritarianism. We will not accept kleptocracy. No! We're here to make it clear that we're going to fight back and we are going to win. Yeah! You know, lately I have been thinking about something that I learned, I guess, in the fifth or sixth grade. And also in Vermont on Memorial Day, I often go to a beautiful parade done by the city of Vergennes, which is up in the northern part of the state. And it's a great parade. And what they do at the end of the parade, many, many hundreds of people come to the town green and we give speeches and stuff. And they bring kids from the high school up to speak. And every year they have a kid from the high school reciting the Gettysburg Address that Abraham Lincoln gave in 1863. And I want you all, I think you all remember what that was about. Lincoln stood there a few days after the terrible, terrible, bloody Battle of Gettysburg, where thousands and thousands of soldiers died to end the horror of slavery. So he stood on that battlefield, and he looked around him, and this is what he said. He said that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Well, brothers and sisters, that is precisely why I'm here in Kenosha tonight, to do my best along with you to see that a government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And I gotta tell you that this is not going to be an easy fight. And I wanna tell you what we are up against. I want you to think back some 6 or so weeks ago, when Trump was inaugurated for his second term. Now, if you remember that, I was there.
Sorry.
It was my job, I had to go. I was kind of right on, I got pushed right up front, so it's a few feet away. And standing right behind Trump as he took his oath of office were the three wealthiest men in America. You remember that? Elon Musk, Mr. Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. But it's not just that the three wealthiest people in America are right behind them. Because right behind them, there were 13 other billionaires who Trump had nominated to head major government agencies. I don't care whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent, you're conservative, progressive, whatever you are. There you had President Trump telling the whole world that that administration, his administration, is a government of the billionaire class, by the billionaire class, and for the billionaire class. And that is what we are taking on, people with endless wealth. My friends, for years I have been talking about how America has been moving toward an oligarchy. Well, we're no longer moving toward that oligarchy. Today we are living in that oligarchy, and we say no. And as we speak, literally right now, the oligarchs led by Mr. Musk, the wealthiest man on earth, are on the warpath against the working families of our country. Despite their, and this is something that really I struggle with to think about. These guys are worth more money than we can almost dream of. What does it mean to be worth $10 billion, $100 billion, in Musk's case, $400 billion? They're worth unbelievable. They can take care of their families for 100 generations, all right? They have endless amounts of money. Now, all of you know that in Vermont and in Wisconsin, we have very serious addiction problems, right? We got people horribly, we're seeing drug overdoses, people who are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. Alcoholism, serious problem. We got tobacco addiction, we got food addiction, we got a lot of addiction in this country. But I will tell you, the most serious addiction that we have is that we are looking at an addiction of greed on the part of the ruling class of this country. This is honestly, and I believe this, this is not an economic issue. We can talk about it from an economic perspective. This is more of a psychiatric issue. These people who are already enormously wealthy cannot control themselves. Think about a heroin addict needs more and more and more. That's what their body is craving. And that is what these guys want. They have billions, they want more billions, and they do not care about who they step on in order to become richer. And right now, in order to make themselves even wealthier, they want to dismember the federal government and cut programs that low-income and working people desperately need. And you know why they are doing that? They want to cut these programs so that they can give the 1% $1.1 trillion in tax breaks.
Yeah. They're looting the country.
Now, how do they do that? What's their plan? Well, their plan is to cut Medicaid by $880 billion. Now, what does that mean? It means that millions of kids will be thrown off of the health care that they have. It means, as Mark Buchan mentioned a moment ago, that when nursing homes get two-thirds of their funding from Medicaid, that if you have a mom or a dad that is in or needs to be in a nursing home, it's going to be really hard because nursing homes all over this country are going to be closing down. It means that if you go to a community health center, 32 million people do that, they are going to be unable to provide you the care that you need because 40% of their revenue comes from Medicaid. But that is not all that they are now attempting to do. It's not just cutting Medicaid. They are now going after Social Security. In America today, 22% of seniors are trying to survive on $15,000 a year or less. You tell me how anybody can survive on $15,000 a year. I don't care whether you are in Wisconsin, Vermont, or any place. All right? You got 50% of seniors trying to get by on $30,000 a year. Right now, because of the inadequate funding of the Social Security Administration, they are understaffed right now. Some 30,000 people die every year waiting for understaffed Social Security to approve disability benefits. Can you believe that? That's what we got now. And Musk's plan to cut Social Security staff by 50% will result in the deaths of thousands and thousands of seniors who will never be able to get on the phone and talk to somebody and get the benefits that they paid into and that they deserve as American citizens. But it's not just Medicaid and healthcare for kids, and it's not just Social Security. They are going after veterans as well. You know, I, some years ago, had the honor, and it really was an honor, to be the chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee, and I worked as hard as I could. And I really don't care what your political view is. I think almost every American understands that when men and women put their lives on the line to defend this country, we got to stand with them and make sure they get the benefits that they were promised. And just a few days ago, the Trump administration announced that they were going to lay off 83,000 employees at the Veterans Administration. They're going to gut the Department of Veterans Affairs, jeopardizing the health and well-being of millions of veterans. Today, it's not just me. Today, the Veterans of Foreign Wars issued a statement, and I quote, "We now call upon VA to reconsider its planned reduction of 83,000 employees and thoroughly review any proposed cuts prior to rolling out further announcements like this," end of quote. I stand with the VFW. Yeah. No cuts to the VA. Trump and Musk want to dismantle the Department of Education. So let me tell you what that means. It means that 27 million kids in low-income and working-class communities all over this country will see those schools lose funding. Those schools are struggling now, and the situation will only get worse. Right now, all over America, low-income, working-class kids are trying to figure out, they want to get a higher education. They have the dream of going to college. Well, they're going to kill the Pell Grant program as well. And on top of all of this, is part of their effort to cut programs so that they can give tax breaks to billionaires, they want to go after nutrition programs to the tune of $230 billion. And these are people, these billionaires, they live in incredible opulence. They own, homes, and they got jet planes, and they got yachts, and they, send their kids to fancy schools. They go up in space in their spaceships.
Let them blow up.
And imagine for a moment the vulgarity of these people with so much wealth trying to get another tax break by cutting nutrition programs for hungry kids. That is truly disgusting. Now, one of the ways that you can dismantle the federal government is to fire, which they are doing, hundreds of thousands of federal employees so that programs that these people work on cannot be implemented. If you don't have anybody working at the Social Security Administration, you don't have a program. People are not answering the phones. They're not getting the checks out. No staffing, no programs. And I want to say something else in terms of what's happening now. Now, when we look at all of these layoffs, Trump just arbitrarily going around, don't care how many years you worked, don't really care about the quality of your work, you're out. Now, some people may say, well, that's really bad. I know that lives are going to be hurt. People had hoped to get a decent retirement. People can't pay their mortgages. What's going to happen to all these workers? We're concerned about that. But I want you all to understand this. People like Musk are working day and night trying to expand artificial intelligence and robotics. Think for a moment, if they are able to helter-skelter throw hundreds of thousands of federal employees out on the street, what do you think they will do with the explosion of artificial intelligence and robotics that we will soon see? Do you think they give a damn about workers who will be impacted?
No!
So whatever you may think about the federal government, let me tell you, they're coming for your job as well. And our view is that technology is good if it works for workers, not just the CEOs and Elon Musk.
Yeah!
Technology opens the opportunity for a shorter work week. And we have got to stand together. I introduced the bill last year for a 32-hour work week with no loss of pay. Because what we have seen over the last 50 years is as worker productivity has exploded, people are producing much, much more. It's not workers who have benefited from that. It is the 1%. Now, one of the tools that the oligarchy is using right now is something that we have really never seen in our country's history. I will not be telling you any secrets that politicians historically lie occasionally. It has happened once or twice. People stretch the truth occasionally. It happens. But what we have never seen is the use of the big lie. The big lie in a way that we are seeing it right now.
Over and over.
As we heard in his speech to Congress just a few days ago, President Trump is very effective in creating what I would call a parallel universe. Stay with me here for a minute, okay? And that is a set of ideas that either have no basis in reality, absolute lies, or in the great scheme of things, they are nowhere near the most important concerns facing the American people. And what these guys do, and this is new in America, it really is. And what they do is they say something that is grossly false, they repeat it over and over again, and then they have their right-wing social media blast it out endless times until people actually believe it. And then what happens is that rather than addressing the real issues and debating the real issues facing our country, we find ourselves wasting endless amounts of time trying to refute Trump's absurdities and lies. Let me give you just a few examples. Trump has claimed over and over again that the 2020 elections was stolen from him and that he won by a landslide. A lie. Trump has claimed that the January 6th insurrection was a day of love. A lie. Trump has claimed that millions of undocumented people vote in American elections. A lie. Trump has claimed that climate change is a hoax originating in China. A lie. Trump very recently has claimed that Ukraine started the horrific war with Russia. A lie. But it's not just Trump. Elon Musk defeated a very important bill before Trump took office by claiming that legislation, which had been worked on, because I was involved in it, for months by Democrats and Republicans fighting, arguing, finally came to what we call a continuing resolution, which included some very important health care provisions that I had worked on. And he said, you gotta defeat that bill because it's giving a 40% wage increase, salary increase to members of Congress. A total, absolute lie. It's a 3.4% increase, not a 40% increase.
He lied.
And this week, in his speech to Congress, Trump once again repeated the claim that Musk started, that zillions and zillions of dead people between the ages of 100 and 300 are receiving Social Security checks. Now, why are they doing that? This is an outrageous lie.
Why?
And in my view, he does this in order to lay the groundwork for cuts to Social Security and, in fact, dismantling the most successful and popular and important program in American history. And that is, so what their goal is, and I want you all to know it, if you disparage a program and you say to me, all things, fraud, it's terribly run, people are going to say, well, gee, why do we keep this program? That is their goal, and we're not going to let them get away with that because we know that millions and millions of seniors are kept out of poverty because of Social Security. We're not going to let them destroy it. Now, it's a funny thing, and this is, again, what they do. They try to deflect attention away from the most important issues facing Americans, and we cannot fall for that. I'll give you an example. Again, at his State of the Union speech on Tuesday, if you listened hard, and I was right there up front, this speech, if you listen hard, had virtually nothing to say about the State of the Union. It went on for 100 minutes. I think it was the longest speech in the history of speeches to Congress. And yet somehow after 100 minutes, he ignored virtually every major issue facing the working class of this country. So let us do for a moment what Trump and his friends do not do. Let us have the courage to take a hard look at the State of the Union, where the American people are today. And I'll start off by saying that in the richest country in the history of the world, there is something profoundly wrong with our economy when 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, unlike Donald Trump, I grew up in a family that lived paycheck to paycheck, and I grew up in a rent-controlled apartment, so I know something about living paycheck to paycheck. And what that means, as many of you know, is that today, millions of Americans worry about how they're going to pay their rent. They worry about how they're going to afford childcare. They worry what's going to happen if their kid gets sick or their mom or dad can't afford prescription drugs. They worry about what happens when the car breaks down. You need to put $1,000 to get the car going. If you don't have the $1,000, you can't get to work. If you can't get to work, you lose your job. If you lose your job, what the hell happens to your family? Millions of people today are worried about how they can afford to purchase healthy food for their kids when the price of food is off the charts. Funny, I didn't hear one word from Donald Trump about the economic realities facing 60% of our people or the enormous stress that they are living under. But that is not all. Today in America, everybody knows that our healthcare system is broken, am I right? We spend twice as much per capita on healthcare, but the goal of this system is simply to make the insurance companies and the drug companies rich, not to provide the care that working families need. We remain, and we've got to end, we remain the only major country on earth not to guarantee healthcare to all people as a human right. Now, I listened to Trump for over an hour and a half, and he had not one word to say about an issue that torments tens of millions of people, the outrageously high cost of healthcare in America. Nor did I hear the president talk about how one out of four Americans cannot afford the prescription drugs their doctors prescribe. I hope you all know that we pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, in some cases 10 times more for the same exact drug as Canadians or Europeans or the Japanese pay.
And subsidize the drug companies too.
But somehow or another, despite an hour and a half of talk, not one word about prescription drugs. But it's not only health care that he forgot to talk about. Today in America, we got 800,000 people who are homeless. We have over 20 million people spending more than 50% of their limited incomes on housing. We have a major housing crisis in Vermont, California, all over this country. Trump did not have one word to say about how we're going to resolve it.
He doesn't care.
Today in America, we have more income and wealth inequality than we have ever had in the history of our nation. The three wealthiest people in America, the people who are standing right behind Trump at his inauguration, own more wealth than the bottom half of American society, 170 million people. Did you hear Trump say one word about addressing this massive level of income and wealth inequality, which gets to the very fabric of our society? And here's something else that Trump forgot to discuss. Not only is our life expectancy 4 years lower, you all know this, 4 years lower than other wealthy countries around the world. You all know that? Yeah. That is really bad. But you know what's even more outrageous? And that is that the life expectancy for the bottom 50% of Americans is 7 years shorter than for the wealthy people in this country. Got that? Now, I want you to think about that. That means if you're in the working class, you're low income, on average, you're going to live 7 years shorter life than if you are wealthy. Why is that? Healthcare is one of the reasons. What's the other reason? Stress. What does that mean, stress? Hold on 1 second. All right, this young man talked about cardiovascular issues and hypertension. What it means? This is what stress means. Think about it. If you are worrying today, you're a single mom, worrying how you're going to feed your kids, worrying about what happens if the landlord raises the rent, worrying about what happens if your car breaks down or some of the kids get sick, what does that do to you? If that's on your mind day after day after day, you're worried about losing your job, what does that do to you? It destroys your mind and your body. That's what it does. Stress kills. And what this young man was saying is true. It has a physiological impact on human life. It is not acceptable that so many of our people are living under that kind of stress. We can deal with it. We're the wealthiest nation on earth. But that's something that Mr. Trump forgot to talk about. And scientists will tell you that climate change is an existential threat to our planet. And economists will tell you that we can create millions of good-paying jobs transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. Trump, in his hour and a half speech, had not one word to say about the crisis of climate change, except drill, baby, drill, which will make a bad situation even worse. So let us do something radical. You ready for a radical idea?
Yeah!
Let us take a real look at what is going on in our country. And I should tell you that the problems we face are not only domestic. For the first time in our 250-year history, we have a president who is turning his back on democracy and allying us with authoritarianism.
Oh. Oh. Traitor.
No, Mr. Trump. Ukraine did not start this war. Russia did. No, Mr. President, Zelensky is not a dictator. Putin is. We must not abandon the people of Ukraine who were invaded by Putin. We must always stand up for democracy, not dictatorship.
Yeah.
But as we go forward in this struggle, it's not good enough to be on the defensive, to take Trump on every day, which is what we gotta do. We've gotta do something else. We have got to come up with the ideas and the agenda that working people all over this country support. And what I'm going to tell you is not just a progressive idea, it is an idea that poll after poll shows is supported by the overwhelming majority of the American people. The American people want us to end a corrupt campaign finance system.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We are not a democracy when billionaires like Musk and others in both political parties can buy elections. It is apparently not enough, and I want you to think hard about this, that Musk spent some $270 million to help Trump get elected, and his reward is that he was made the most powerful person in the U.S. government. But it goes beyond that, as bad as that is. The situation is so absurd that, and Musk is so arrogant, that he is even intervening in a Supreme Court election right here in the state of Wisconsin. Against a candidate who has the very, very extreme idea that maybe women should be able to control their own bodies, not the government. Now, whatever your view may be on this Supreme Court election, I think what everybody, no matter what your position should be, should make it clear to the wealthiest person on earth that he cannot buy an election here in Wisconsin.
Nowhere.
And I want you to think about what that means. If this guy can intervene in a Supreme Court election in one state, you tell me what mayor's race, what governor's race, what Senate race he cannot buy. So we have got to deal with this corrupt campaign finance system. We've got to overturn Citizens United.
Yes.
And we've got to move to public funding of elections.
Yes.
And again, no matter what your political view may be, you're conservative, you're progressive, nobody I know thinks that billionaires should be able to buy elections.
Right.
Furthermore, we've got to move toward a tax system that is fair.
Yes.
No more tax breaks for billionaires. When tens of millions of Americans are working for starvation wages, when the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, we've got to raise that wage to a living wage, at least $17 an hour. All over this country, working people want to join unions. They understand that when you're in a union, you got a shot at decent wages, decent benefits, decent working conditions. But Musk and Bezos and the billionaire class continuously act in an illegal way to make it difficult or impossible for workers to exercise their constitutional right to form a union. That's why we got to pass the PRO Act, make it easier for workers to join unions. Musk and Trump and these guys are in the business of cutting Social Security. Our view is that when millions of seniors today are finding it hard to keep their homes warm or buy the food they need, we're not going to cut Social Security. We're going to expand Social Security by lifting the cap on taxable income. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to let them cut Medicaid. We're going to fight for Medicare for all. Again, whether you're conservative, Republican, progressive, whatever you may be, people understand that whether you're rich or you're poor or you're middle class, everybody needs health care. Health care is a human right, not a privilege. A competitive global economy. We need the best educated workforce in the world. Young people should not have to go $50,000 or $100,000 in debt to get the education they need. All over the world, countries understand they want, they need their kids to get a quality education. That's why we've got to make public colleges and universities tuition free and forgive student debt. Now, I know there are a lot of people throughout our country who are feeling angry and frustrated about what's going on in Washington, right? So let me say this. At this particular moment in history, despair is not an option. Giving up is not acceptable. None of us have the privilege of hiding under the covers as much as we might want to do that. The stakes for us, for our kids, for future generations, and for the planet is just too high. And in these difficult moments, and they are difficult, let us never ever forget that real change only occurs when ordinary people stand up against oppression and injustice. And we all know this is not the first time that our country has faced challenging and dangerous situation. Think about it. I really want you to think about this. When this country was founded, you had people in the colonies taking on the entire British Empire, the most powerful force on earth. They stood up, they took on the King of England, and they won. Think about the people in the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s in the abolitionist movement. They said, slavery is a human abomination and we're going to get rid of it. And they had to take on everybody, enormously powerful people. And hundreds of thousands of people died in that civil war to make that happen. But they won. Slavery was abolished. Think about the struggles of the American trade union movement. Think about workers who stood up and said, we don't want children working in factories. We don't want to work 7 days a week. We want to form a union. And some of those workers were beaten up. Some of them were killed. Many of them were fired, but they fought back and won. Think about Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement and all of those people who went to jail to fight segregation, and they won. Think about the women way back when who went to jail and occasionally died because of the radical idea that women should have the right to vote. And they won. When you think about the environmental movement, the gay rights movement, and many other movements. So yes, the oligarchs are enormously powerful. They control the economy. They control our political system to a large degree. They have enormous influence over the media. But from the bottom of my heart, I am convinced that they can be beaten. American people have stood up to wealth and power in the past, We can do it today, and we can beat them. If we stand together and not let Trump and his allies divide us up by the color of our skin or where we were born or our religion or our sexual orientation, if we bring our people together, if we create an agenda that works for all and not just the few, now, I'm not a PhD in mathematics, but I do know that 99% is a hell of a lot bigger number than 1%. So let me conclude by saying this. I hope very much that... What? All right, you're right. Look, I will be introducing legislation very shortly to prevent any more funding for the Netanyahu government to kill it. Now, we did this a few months ago, and to everybody's surprise, you know, despite the enormous power of AIPAC and other powerful organizations, we got 19 senators to support a ban on arms sales for Netanyahu. And by the way, and again, you know, there's so much to go over, you forgive me, there are many things I didn't discuss, but the idea that Trump believes that he can forcibly expel 2.2 million people in Gaza who have suffered so much in order to create a playground, a Riviera for the rich, is so abominable, it is literally unspeakable. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're not going to leave you guys alone. We're going to keep pestering you. We hope you come out and you vote on that Supreme Court election. We hope that you call your Republican member of Congress here and tell him, you know what? The people of Wisconsin in this district do not want tax breaks for billionaires and cuts to Medicaid and education. And you know what? I think it would be a great idea for your congressman to hold a town meeting right here. It's called democracy. So, brothers and sisters, thank you again. This is an unbelievable turnout. Thank you all for coming. Let's go forward together. We're going to win this thing. Thank you.
When the people united, we all learn how to say that in English and Spanish and Chinese and Russian, Arabic and Quechua, Farsi, Greenlandic and Danish. We all came to a giant convention to hatch a plan for the wrongs to be righted, and the billionaires all hid out in their mansions when the people united. We decided to form one big union and to guarantee housing for all, along with health care and standards for wages and safety beneath which no country shall fall. we decided to take over the banks. We the workers who wouldn't be slated. Take all the wealth of the 0.1% when the people united. And the one big union proclaimed all the real estate tycoons, all the hedge fund investors who bought up the world and took us all for buffoons, shall henceforth be housed somewhere with the rest of the indicted, while their stocks are dispersed to us when the people united. We changed all the corporate charters. So first came the air and the soil. Naturally, all the factories were retooled. So we stopped burning coal and oil. And we all took a deep breath. Looked around at everyone so excited for the future we'd build together when the people united. At that meeting, we all decided the message we'd all take to heart was to make sure that never again would the people be kept apart. We all said we'd fight no more. Around the planet, folks were delighted when we all started smashing the gunships. When the people united. People united. We all learn how to say that in English and Spanish and Chinese and Russian, Arabic and Quechua, Farsi, Greenlandic and Danish.
You're tuned to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kbu.fm. Coming up next, it's Africa Oye, but first these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7